Steve, bad news.
What?
I just found out a moment ago, Wendy, that both you and I are thieves.
What?
That's right. Wendy and I are thieves.
Stealers.
I don't know what you're talking
about. Rip-off artists. Flim-flam men. And women.
Not, again,
and women.
I'm not
I wasn't
a man.
Done. Flim-flam right. People.
You forget.
Flim-flammers. Ne'er-do-wells. There were some whites. You know, Steve, we're the home of the Chicago
you
White Sox.
You took the White Sox caps?
Yep.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Took them.
We didn't know.
We find out now that we weren't supposed to, but.
Well, you're wearing it.
Yeah.
Mine's at home, well, and Jasmine just got a new one.
When you guys went upstairs yesterday, there were two caps sitting in the studio, and I was talking to Bill, and I said, yeah, these caps are everywhere. And Bill said,
give me one.
I want one.
Ah.
They're small, though. It looks
no,
like
they're adjustable.
No. I know they're adjustable, but
yeah.
It looks like you're wearing a toddler hat.
Well, I have a Mardi Gras-sized
hat.
It fits,
Wendy.
It doesn't fit.
It's.
It looks too small on you.
My head's too big. It's
no,
not
no, no.
That the hat's too
no,
small.
No, no, no. Your head is not too big.
It
these,
is.
I think these are kids' hats.
No, these are adults' hats.
Mm.
They are. I only steal things that fit me. Can I tell you something? I wore it yesterday after the show, like just during my regular rounds of doing things. And you know how, all right, mostly, this is mostly a woman's thing, but I'm sure you'll relate to this because as you pointed out, Wendy, you are a woman.
It's great that I have to point these things out.
You know how women
who
are
right here.
Brunettes
yes.
Tell you that if they dye their hair blonde, they are perceived differently by society. When they walk around and do things all day, if they have blonde hair, they're treated differently from when they have their brunette hair. I will tell you as a fact that if you wear a White Sox hat around town all day, you are treated differently than if you wear a Cubs hat.
Please explain, because it is more street, and it's cooler. It's way cooler than that little tiny bear, that little cubby bear.
I got some nods from people who looked dangerous.
Did they give
I don't
you
know
a
if they
sup?
Are. They, no, I didn't get a sup, but one guy gave me, how can I best express this? His index finger just went up, and he kind of just... like
he pointed
that,
at you.
An acknowledgement of you and I both have danger in our blood.
Comrades.
I mean,
yeah.
It's like people who drive beetles around and honk at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. That's it.
Except a little tougher.
Yeah. A little tougher. So if you wear a Cubs hat around town, people are just like, oh, yeah, right.
Because
well, that's,
everybody
supposed
sees
to be wearing
it, yeah.
One. But if you're a White Sox hat, they say, oh, there's an element of danger now all of a sudden.
Get some respect. What's
right.
Up?
That's it. Exactly.
So I don't even know how to be street.
That's well, you were close. You
all
were right, down the block. So it's really interesting.
You seriously noticed
I'm
a difference?
I'm telling you.
Because you never have worn a Sox hat, really.
No, in my life I've had a bunch, but not lately.
Not as
like
an adult. I haven't seen you...
No, remember I had a 1919 White Sox hat that I used to wear all the time.
That
it was like black
cool.
And gray. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know where
that
it
was
is.
A cool one. But this is your standard black hat, white logo Sox.
Right.
I like the Batterman. I like the 70s and was it 80s? The just the S O X.
Oh, yeah.
It was right. 70s, I think.
70s into 80s.
Yeah,
right.
I liked that. I didn't like
kinda
the pajamas.
No, I don't think anyone did.
Liked it for a minute, thought, oh, that's unique, don't like it.
right. So, yeah, I'll wear this now. I'll wear the White Sox hat, the stolen White Sox hat, when I feel that I need to express...
Plus, it's stolen, so it's like
well,
kind of all perfect.
Now that I know it's stolen, I'm going to go back and find the guy that acknowledged me with the finger click thing and go, just so you know, stolen goods. I'm wearing stolen goods. And then we'll probably become friends and hang out together.
Go to a game together.
Yeah, we'll probably go to a game together.
Get a funnel cake. You
yeah.
Can share it.
We'll steal a funnel cake.
No, don't steal anymore.
No? All right.
Kathy, I really think that might be a kid's hat. I know it's adjustable
no.
So it fits your head, but the brim is really small, Kathy.
Oh, you know what? I've got four sitting here, and I actually tried to give them to my niece the other day, and they're too small. They're like, they have not enough material in the cap part. They're like a beanie with a brim.
Yes, they're not deep enough.
Well,
no,
I know.
It's like, I'm never going to wear them, so they're going to Goodwill.
Kathy, I don't know what your religious bent is, but I can use this as a yarmulke if I need to. If I'm going to a service at a temple, I can use this.
Wait, do they have team memorabilia and yarmulkes?
Yes, yeah, they do.
All right, because that was my idea.
They
and
do.
Also,
oh, no.
The Middle Eastern women that wear that, I would like to do...
The hijab?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do they have sports-related ones of those?
I don't think they have those. You want to go into that market?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Kathy, are the ones you have, are they also adjustable?
Yes, they are adjustable in back. One's from a magazine, a sale magazine, and the other two are like freebies, like Clean Marina. It's a marina hat.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're too short. They're too. They don't.
They're not deep enough.
They're going to be off my head in a minute.
Oh, see, I always get adjustable caps because I also have an adjustable head.
Well, you need to shrink the skull down, though.
Yeah, that's the key to this working. You're actually right.
All adjustable. Yep. It's too bad because they're cute. But...
Yeah, they're great. Well, thank you, Kathy. I appreciate it.
Are you a Sox fan?
Am I? Oh, yeah, I'm a Sox fan. I'm, you know, back when you could only go to night games when your dad worked.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Right.
So we never went to the Cubs. I am both, though, really.
Oh, I like to hear that. Yeah. There should be more of that, don't you think?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah,
definitely.
That would be nice.
Thanks,
Chicago,
Kathy.
All the way.
Yep. Well said.
All
awesome.
Right.
Thank
Thanks,
you, Kathy.
Guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
South side of
Chicago.
Yep. It is
so
just not deep
another
enough.
Another person, though, who admittedly likes both teams. So we're growing. There's two of us now.
Well, this is what's good about us having the White Sox.
Uh-huh.
There may be more of that coming.
Right. Right. How about how quickly Mark Harmon changed his colors?
He is just...
a lifelong Cubs fan who all of a sudden... You say Cubs to him, and he looks around like, I don't know, who's that? I don't know who that is. I'm a White Sox fan now.
See, that happened on the stream as we were passing the baton to Adam Hoge. And Mark Harmon, I think, asked me, do you think we're getting the White Sox? And I said, well, according to reports I've been reading, and this was pre-getting them.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I think so. And then Adam Hoge said, I'd be really happy because I'm a Sox fan. I said, me too. Bill, you said you like both. And then Mark Harmon said, if we get the Sox, I will burn all my Cubs stuff.
What?
And Adam Hoge stopped him and said, wait a minute. Did you just say that? And he goes, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I will burn all my Cubs all my Cubs stuff. So there's a recording of that, and I think he needs to burn all the Cubs stuff.
I think he needs to. He said he would.
If you say it on the air.
Right.
You got to do it, right?
It's like an episode. It's like a chapter of Fahrenheit 451. That's what's become of Mark Harmon, Wendy. Burning his Cubs paraphernalia.
See, you didn't need to go that far. He just like really went over the line.
I know he did. I know he did, but he said it, so now he has to do it. That's how it works.
We said that we're going to be out at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, and we said we were going to have some listeners come with us as we visit the Saturday Night Live, the Experience exhibit. It's happening next Wednesday, February 28th, from 10 a.m. to noon, and then we're going to be there for the streaming bonus hour as well from noon to 1. Maybe we could get Adam Hoge to stay out there for his time, and you
can
make fun of Mark Harmon if he's with him.
I would love that. That would be fun.
You can interact with sets like the couch from Wayne's World, original props and costumes, and learn how the show comes together in just 6 days, which is pretty amazing to me. We have tickets for you to come join us. You can tour the exhibit as well. This is next Wednesday, February 28th, from 10 a.m. to noon. Then we're streaming from noon to 1, so let's just say 10 to 1. We're going to have pie and coffee from Bang Bang Pie and Biscuits. The Museum of Broadcast Communications is located at 360 North State Street, and we'd like two listeners to call us.
Yeah.
And then they will win a pair of tickets to come join us.
Callers 5 and 6 right now. 5 and 6 at 312-981-7200. And as a side bar to all this, you and I said, you know what we should do to make the show great is get some former SNL people to come on with us. We can interview them, talk about their days at SNL. Well, Amy Poehler, Eddie Murphy, just two of the stars that will not be joining us at our broadcast a week from tomorrow.
You suck, because you really got me excited for a minute. I'm like, there have been new developments.
Oh, there's a long list of celebrities that will not be with us. Those are two of the new ones that have declined our invitation. Svengoolie's going to be there.
Well, good.
He's always been my favorite SNL cast member, Svengoolie.
Me too, I got to be honest with you.
He's great.
All right, callers 5 and 6, 312-981-7200. You will join us at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, Saturday Night Live, The Experience with Svengoolie, next Wednesday at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. Congratulations are in order. We'd like to congratulate Kevin from Arlington Heights.
Is Kevin coming?
And
is he winning?
Denise from Highland, Indiana. They're coming to join us.
Denise and Kevin.
Sitting in a tree.
They're going to be... I'm not going to infer that.
They can.
If they want to sit in a tree, if they'll enjoy the show more sitting in a tree, please, by all means, do.
Museum of Broadcast Communications, 360 North State Street. It's a fun little place to go. Have you been there?
To the museum?
Yes. So you saw Garfield Goose?
Yeah. Yep. Good impression of Garfield Goose,
thanks,
Wendy. That was great.
It was a little tender.
Will you do that at the show on Wednesday? People love that. Oh, that was excellent.
It is. That's
do,
my...
do Mama, Garfield Goose's mother. Can you do that one? Oh, that's pretty good, too.
And the little wig was flopping around.
Right, right. Yep.
I don't know if you heard the breeze. All right, anyway, we, of course, us, we are fine broadcasters, so we're going to be at the Broadcast Museum on next Wednesday, February 28th.
You should do scenes from, like, Death of a Salesman.
As using Garfield Goose and Mama.
Yeah, and Romberg Rabbit could be Biff.
You got to do the Romberg
Rabbit.
I'll
do that one.
We'll be there next Wednesday. It'll be the most fun you've ever had from 10 to 1. And we have more tickets to give away, too. So, Kevin, Arlington Heights, Denise, Highland, Indiana, congratulations. And we'll see you there next Wednesday.
How about the fact that those puppets didn't even talk? Like, Romberg Rabbit would just show up and just move his hands. He didn't even talk.
I'm telling you, puppetry has really come a long way. It sucked in the 50s. And think about Mr. Rogers. Meow, 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 Daniel, meow. I mean, they were terrible.
Somebody wrote that. A writer. They hired a writer to write that.
Meow, 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 meow.
Hey, Mark, I don't think that, I don't think the cat would say that. No, he would. She would. She definitely would. My favorite one of all time.
It was Daniel the cat. It's not a girl. I'm Lady
Daniel,
Elaine.
Right. The cat was a guy.
Yeah, Daniel.
I just assume incorrectly that all cats are female. I don't know why, but every cat I've ever seen, I always think that it's a female. I don't know why. I just do.
Really? Felix?
Yeah, female.
Top cat?
Female.
No.
Yep. In my head, because cats have like a feminine way about them, so I just assume all cats are women. But I know that
there
can't be right.
There are some male Sylvester? Cats listening right now. I know every cat I know is a male. Yeah. I had a male cat.
Yeah. Big cat.
I don't know.
Who cat?
Big right? Cat Williams.
Big Cat Williams.
He was a female.
Sylvester the cat.
Female.
Sylvester?
Yep. 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 I know it's not correct. It's just in my head whenever I think of cats, they're all...
How about this one? The Tom cat?
Oh, no, that was a guy.
Who's Tomcat?
You mean Top Cat?
I said
no,
Tomcat.
Oh. You just call a cat a male cat, a Tomcat.
Or an alley cat. The stray cats. None of them are
women.
Cats.
All women.
Who?
The copycats.
Females.
What are those?
Impressionists.
Yes.
Yep.
Are they women?
No, but Mary went deep into the pocket to find that reference. That was fantastic.
It just came off the top of my head.
That was outstanding.
But I agree with you. I think of cats as female, too.
If you go to someone's house and they have a cat, you just watch it move for a little while. You go, that's got to be a female.
Because they're sneaky and smart.
Yeah. Eartha Kitt.
Eartha Kitt was definitely a woman.
Cat woman.
Yeah.
Okay, that is a cat woman.
And Julie Newmar.
Yes.
And Lee Merriweather, the one time. She was also
so that's
woman.
Why you think they're women. I think that is it. Because I always think bats are males.
Yeah, I do too.
And robins, the birds, always males. Robin Redbreast.
Wait, you think robins are always males?
I think
males?
Robins are mostly males, but not entirely males.
Yeah, because the robin that you see, the Robin Redbreast, and I was going with the whole Batman connection, that's why I did it.
Yeah.
But Robin Redbreast, all the males are more ornate than the females. So when you see a robin and say that's a robin, it's a male.
But because in nature,
females are just brown.
And I know this is what Steve disagrees.
Yes.
Really? I thought all robins had to.
Nope, look it up. I worked at Brookfield Zoo for many years.
Oh, then you're perfect. I was going to say we should get Steve Dale for this, but you will know this better than anyone. In the animal kingdom, isn't it usually with most animals, not necessarily humans, but most animals, the male is the more ornate of the two?
Almost all of them.
Yeah, right.
Except dogs.
More dapper.
More dapper.
The lion has the mane. The female is just
the
boring.
Cardinal.
The Cardinals, that's a good example. Why is that?
Peacock and peahens.
Right? Right?
I know you thought I was...
P. Diddy is more
isn't
ornate.
The mallard duck?
Yep.
Yep.
So the women are brown, and that's... Not women, I guess I shouldn't say that. The females.
Because
they blend in with their surroundings, and they're the ones nursing all their animals.
And one will hurt them that way.
Right. So the men are, you know, opposite of humans, because we, as women, put more makeup on than men do.
Well, the male generally has to attract a mate.
So they do the crazy dances and, you know, make the sounds, and they are more ornate, so they need to stand out. The women need to blend in as they're keeping the
survival
the babies safe.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I worked at Brookfield Zoo.
Proved it.
I know.
That's just more than
I wasn't a keeper or anything that dealt with the animals, but I did was a tour guide.
You said that as though you were slighted. Like you were headed toward that.
You needed a degree. You needed a degree to be a keeper. I always wanted to be, but it was...
degree?
Yeah, it was easier just being a narrator on the railroad train and motor safari.
Don't undersell that.
Hey, look what I'm doing now.
I know, it led to this.
Ozzie Guillen was on my cheetah train one day. It's pretty exciting.
Was he?
His hat blew off, and he tried to get off to get it. And I said, please, sit down, Ozzy.
You have got to write a book.
I know.
This would be such a good chapter.
I know.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve has the news. Then more of this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. In about 10 minutes or so, Bridget Carey from CNET joins us. She was at Toy Fair in New York. Can't wait to hear about the new toys coming out. Can I point out a headline to you, Wendy, that I find upsetting? And as soon as you read the headline, you will also be upset.
Sure.
Please read. Now, this is about Fergie. Remember, we talked about Fergie yesterday.
The torch singing Fergie.
Yeah. She sang the Star Spangled Banner in her own inimitable style. And no one liked it.
I've heard way worse. I mean, I didn't love it, but I think people are overreacting.
Yeah, and she came out yesterday, right, and said, look, I tried something new, and it just didn't work the way I thought it was. You know, good for her.
Yep. Read this headline. This is from CBS in Los Angeles. Read the headline word for word.
Fergie's national anthem brings the house down, literally.
Now, this goes to the point that I've been trying to make for the last year and a half, which is that no one on the planet seems to understand what the word literally means.
Did the roof cave in?
No. I've watched footage of the game.
Because you thought the roof came in.
I read the headline, and I said, boy, why didn't anybody report on the fact that the stadium crumbled as she sang? But as the headline points out, Fergie's national anthem brings the house down, literally.
Well, it did bring them down in spirits. That is literally.
Oh, all right. I never thought of that. I guess if you're going to go with that meaning.
Thank God we're talking about the toy show.
People were sad. But when you read that, you say, once again, somebody doesn't understand what literally means, and we're all subjected to it.
That bothers you a lot.
Well, yeah, because no one's using it properly. Literally means actually, factually.
I don't hear it that much.
I hear every day someone tells me something and peppers it with literally, and I always go, no, they didn't live in a shoebox, literally.
Well, one of your daughters is guilty. My sons don't say it, so
say
I don't hear
Kylie.
You.
Kylie uses it all
but
the time.
But so I never really hear people misusing it or overusing it.
Oh, it's terrible.
We don't allow that word in our house.
Really?
Yeah.
It's no literally zone?
Right.
They
so
live
I
in
never
a figurative
hear it.
World.
Right.
So it should be.
Figuratively.
That's the way it should be. Mm-hmm. That's the way it should be. So she has, as Steve pointed out, Fergie has come out and said, I'm sorry, I tried something, didn't work.
There was a moment on the John Williams show yesterday where Mr. Steve Bertrand and Mr. John Williams were completely in cahoots and completely in agreement.
Over what?
About her rendition of the Star Spangled Banner. Would you like to take this, Steve? Do you remember?
I'm afraid of where you're going. I don't remember.
No, it wasn't bad. It was just that John wasn't really bothered by it too much either.
Oh, yeah.
And he was okay with
it. It's not horrible. It's not.
It's not, but like I woke up in the morning, Jimmy Mack played it for me yesterday, and I'm like, it's not that bad. You played it for me. I'm like, it's not that bad. I mean, it was weird to have it start out really sexy and breathy. That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I've really heard tons worse.
There have been worse.
No, there's nothing disrespectful about it.
No, you and know, that's what John Williams was saying was, you know, he gets mad when people have to do it a certain way. And maybe I'm paraphrasing, Steve, you were involved in the conversation, but you said
I only half listened to John.
What did Thomas Jefferson think of it? Did he weigh in on
God.
No, you know what? You're right. So what John said was, I'm sick of there being this sort of litmus test that you have to perform it a certain way or you are not a good American.
That's a good point.
That's just crazy.
That's a good point.
Agreed. And Thomas Jefferson did too.
He was in agreement with
that. He kills me.
He said he wished the English had won after you heard that.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I love listening to Thomas Jefferson. I don't know why, but I really do. I wouldn't want him in person. He'd make me nervous.
But over the radio waves, you got a little Thomas Jefferson's nice.
And I love when, you know, I'm loving that Thomas Jefferson knows how to knows his way around Google, because John will bring something up. And at first, it's like, you know, they were talking about his presidential portrait.
Yeah.
And John Williams explained what artists did the portrait of Thomas Jefferson. And T.J. was kind of acting like, yeah, I'm not really sure. And then all of a sudden, he knew a lot about that artist.
And you suspect maybe he Googled
it. A little Googling.
It. Now, there was no Googling going on in the
1700s. No, but he's come a long way.
All right.
He knows how to Google.
I like to hear that.
I'm fascinated by that. I don't know why. I really am.
you can't, you know, if an artist, if a performer, Fergie or otherwise, takes a chance, you almost have to applaud them and go, well, here's a song that's been performed 100 billion times, so you wanted to make it your own? Yeah, why not? Take a risk. It's just funny that almost everybody, not everybody, but almost everybody just pounced and went, oh, no, not with the Star Spangled Banner, you don't.
I think to John's point, it's one of those areas where we're just a little too judgy.
Right.
We're judgy on everything.
Right.
Everything. And she sounded a little pitchy, and I think it was like the upright bass that made her sound pitchy. Like, had she done it completely a cappella, it would have been fine to me.
Really?
But there was some kind of combination of, I don't even know if it was an upright bass, but that's what it sounded like. It sounded not congruent to what she was singing.
Right. I get that.
So
now, because that story was so big and because I'm trying my best to censor myself, Kevin Hart was also a part of the NBA All-Star festivities over the weekend. We didn't talk about this yesterday because I'm trying my best. I've had texts from people who go, okay, we get it. You don't like Kevin Hart. But did you see his introduction of the play? You didn't see any of his introduction of the players for the game, did you?
No.
Wendy, it brought the house down, literally.
Did he come out on a basketball?
He, no, but that would have made me like him more. He would have just gone, yeah, bounce me in. I'll be harnessed to the basketball. I'll hold on real tight. And then Shaquille O'Neal can shoot me and miss me in a free throw line. It'd be great.
Exactly. I don't think he made one free throw ever.
All right. So usually at the NBA All-Star game, somebody does the introduction. It's not usually a celebrity. It's just somebody, you know, doing the voice. And it takes anywhere between 45 seconds to 50 seconds. Kevin Hart's version, I'm not exaggerating, 12 minutes. Because he, after every name, wanted to tell you a funny story or something that he's perceived about the player. So it took 12 minutes, literally, for Kevin Hart to introduce your NBA All-Stars.
That has become the least athletic event.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was it funny at least?
No, it wasn't funny at all.
Because you'd say you give Fergie credit for trying something different, but you won't give Kevin Hart credit for trying something different. If it was funny, it would have worked.
If it was funny, it would have been great. If a little bit of it would have been funny, it would have been great. But it was just 12 minutes of, just play the game, please. Yeah. Please play the game, you know? And this is just off of his drunken rampage at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was bad.
He's not at the Olympics yet, but he's going to show up with some sort of a wardrobe malfunction so somebody notices him at the Olympics. Somebody needs to tell Kevin, you don't have to be at every single thing. You can just come to some things.
I think the wheels are falling off of his little cart.
Do you really?
He doesn't have a bus, but he has a cart, a skateboard.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, because he, infidelity with the pregnant wife.
There's that.
He irritated people on SNL when he did the monologue, and it really was stupid. You know, moms just get, what was his thing, remember? Like, dads are the fun ones
moms
or something.
Moms are not fun, right. His point.
And then the drunken trying to get up on the... Actually, the trying to get up at the Super Bowl, but then the drunken tirade afterwards.
Yeah.
And now this, he's trying. It's,
I don't
the
get
wheels
it.
Are coming off.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right.
It's not looking good for him. Everything is spiraling.
Yeah.
So is rehab the next thing?
Would it shock you?
No, but that's how you win people
comedy
back.
Comedy rehab. He should go to comedy.
Dr. Drew?
Yeah, Dr. Drew's comedy rehab.
Is it a new show?
He lost his funny.
Yes. Help him find it, Dr. Drew.
I'd watch that.
That would be all right. All right. Let's take a quick break. Bridget Carey will be here next. We'll find out what's going on in the world of tech. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's a Tech Tuesday, Bill, and you're excited to talk to Bridget Carey every week, but especially this week.
I'm excited, and I'm jealous.
Oh, CNET Senior Editor Bridget Carey, you got to see the toys.
Oh, yeah, the toys of tomorrow. Yeah, there's a New York Toy Fair. Today's the last day it's going on. This is a big annual showcase where all the toy makers, Mattel, Hasbro, and friends come out and show the industry what's going to hit for the holidays. So it's not open to the public, but journalists like yours truly get to check it out to see. And I go, all right, how is technology going to impact, like, the toys kids are going to play with tomorrow? And I found a few interesting trends that weren't there last year. For one... Amazon Alexa is now in some toys, particularly games. Toy makers are going, how can we get more creative with board games? What if we included sound? Well, there's already Amazon Echoes in millions of homes. In fact, it's predicted to be in over 60 million U.S. homes in a few years. So
that's how the Russians are getting to us, by the way.
Is that true?
Through Alexa.
I didn't know that.
You know, a lot of playmakers have tried voice recognition before. But guess what? It's expensive to build your own. Suddenly, you have all these echoes in the house where parents trust them already with security with their kids to play with it. So why not leverage it, right? It's no different than how toy makers leverage apps. And they go, oh, an app comes with this toy. Well, this is really just saying, like, hey, we built a program that Alexa can work with. And so it's the early days. I played a board game Mattel made where, like, you're supposed to talk to Alexa as you play the board game. And honestly, it kind of takes you out of the mode. We have to keep saying Alexa this and Alexa that. If you say the wrong command, it stops the game and Alexa starts playing something else and you're like, no, wait, stop. So I think these companies, especially a lot of startups that don't have a lot of money, they like to work with something that exists and try it out, but we have a little ways to go there.
How can we teach Alexa to cheat at Battleship?
But see, that would be fun to play with Alexa or Rock'em Sock'em Robots, games where you need two people to play.
Yeah.
And like, you know, if you're an only child or maybe your brother and sister were 10 years older than you. Uh-huh. So that would be fun. That's where Alexa could be good.
Is that how Alexa's being used, Bridget, as an opponent?
Not so much an opponent, yeah, because a lot of companies are like, well, we don't want you to be a kid playing alone with a machine that was designed to sell you things on Amazon. So that, like, it doesn't really leave a good taste in the mouth of a toy company. Like, so because it's sort of like, let's do things with the family. So that's why they're working on a lot of family games where maybe there'll be other people you're interacting with. They say, you know, the boring thing about a new board game, so to speak, is learning the rules, right? What if Alexa was the scorekeeper, the rule keeper, the background music? But then others like being the banker, and some people like even being the rule keeper. So I don't know, it depends on your taste there.
All right, Pokemon Go was all the rage. It is not anymore, is it? I mean, are people still playing Pokemon Go?
I've seen people on the subway play it, but really, what Pokemon Go did is it got a lot of toy companies going, wow, people want to have augmented reality type games. What can we do? I saw Hasbro come out with an Iron Man mask where it's this plastic mask for your kid, but you stick your phone in it and you can kind of play this game where you're shooting like at bad guys that are floating in your living room, so to speak. I've seen Hot Wheels, Mattel. They have this Hot Wheels little set where the cars go on the plastic,
racetrack,
and they go spin around. But if you stick your iPad above in front of you, it turns into like a video game kind of cartoony thing where cartoons are overlaid on it. You like see rockets, and you can shoot them with animations, and there's lightning everywhere. So I found myself really distracted. I'm like trying to play through an app on a physical racetrack. It was so much going on at once. But they go, this is a way to take it up a notch. I think. Another trend I saw that I think is more appealing than, like, say, add an app to it, right, is the fact that technology has made it so cheap that robotics are a lot more affordable now. And if you remember Fingerlings, the little monkey robot.
Those were really popular this past Christmas, correct?
Fingerlings,
yeah,
are called?
Yeah, a little monkey on your finger. I'm surprised you didn't get one.
A monkey on my finger?
I had one on my back for so many years.
They were just $15, and they responded to motion, and they made little kissy sounds, and they blinked, and their head moved. And $15 for a little wearable robot showed that it went crazy for it. Everyone was like, wow. Now there's a lot of more fuzzy robot things you can wear. I saw something called a Pomsy that looked like a cat type of hybrid thing that you'll just, it'll just purr on you and move and make sounds. A lot more little pets that do more things, like dogs that can actually understand. You go roll over, and the robot dog will roll over and answer to the name you call it. And even little pets that poop. I saw a robot bunny that you feed it food, and little food comes out. There was a robot dog Hasbro has. You've been seeing robot little creatures for a while now that are fuzzy and cute, but I've never seen them actually poop.
Robots don't poop. Can
no,
I just
they're not
say
supposed
that?
To. So there's wrong.
Yeah, that's a flaw.
Right. That never. I used to watch Lost in Space every week, Bridget. I never saw the robot use the restroom once.
Rosie on the Jetsons never pooped.
Never.
She cleaned up theirs.
Right. Yeah, robots. Mike Pence, he doesn't. No robots do. They don't go to the bathroom. That's ridiculous.
Well, poop is a big trend this year, I hate to say. So
what? Because of that stupid emoji?
You got it. Because, you know, now we're talking with animated poop faces on our $1,000 iPhones. Everywhere I turned, there was animated poop this, animated poop that. Mattel, big companies, were making games where you got to catch the flying poop. There was sticky poop.
What has happened?
On walls. There was collectible little family poops. Have the little Poolies and the poodle and the whole family of different poo characters, and they all have a YouTube series because now you had to get really hooked with a toy, but also watch the YouTube series to really be hooked. It was insane.
There's a YouTube series for that?
PooTube.
There's two different ones. There's two different like YouTube poop.
Bridget, you saw this, right? I saw pictures of this online. There's some company that makes it's a toilet for kids, but it's not a real toilet, a functioning one. It's a toy. And then you can buy different germs that you put on the toilet and things that you'd find, like, in a, you know.
What, is this the Howie Mandel bathroom?
I have no idea why any adult would want to get that for their kids, but there were people lined up to see it.
I have no idea why any adult would want to teach their kid to throw poop and catch poop with little Mr. Hanky lookalikes.
I know.
But I go around, I'm like, wait, guys, why are you making this? Is this a trend? Like, well, actually, poop's always been big with the kids. But, yeah, Apple, they all say, Apple and emoji made it even hotter, you can say.
No, don't say it that way. Please don't say it that way.
So Pokemon Go has a new meaning
Pokemon
now?
Pokemon Go to the bathroom.
Yeah. There's going to be augmented...
Flush them all.
Augmented reality where you try and catch the poop.
Right.
Did I hear there's going to be a Mario augmented reality game that's going to come out?
I don't know what Mario's cooking up. I mean, there's always different things Nintendo's doing, but I have seen that what Hot Wheels does is they try to take video games and put them in the real life, so a little backwards there. I kind of like this attempt. They made a real-life Mario Kart for Hot Wheels, and Hot Wheels took another popular video game they kind of, like, made real cars for it. So it's, like, it's this game where you can, like, pretend your car's playing soccer.
I've seen that. It's really cool.
Yeah.
This is the 50th anniversary of Hot Wheels, so they're trying all kinds of things for their 50th anniversary.
Right.
Yeah, they look great.
You know, Bridget, Bill gets credentials to be able to go to this toy show if he wanted to, and he was kind of upset for not going, but aren't you, you're not going to be upset that you missed all the poop
I'm
stuff?
I'm not upset about that at all, no.
Wow.
I'd rather have Bridget tell me about it than see it in person. Bridget, thanks so much. It sounds like you had a good time at the toy fair, huh?
Oh yeah. It's always a blast.
Yeah, it sounds like it. All right, well, thanks so much. Have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you a week from today.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
That's Bridget Carey from CNET.
And this, sponsored by Illinois Tech Stewart School of Business, this Tech Tuesday is.
Steve, thanks very much. Steve, a friend of yours is going to be on with us in a half an hour.
I
hope you can hang out.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot all about that. I'll try to pop back in after the 11:30.
All right.
Yes.
We can divulge who, right?
Yeah.
All right. Channel 9 has a new anchor for their 9 o'clock news.
After Mark Sapelsa retired.
Right. And it is a former classmate of Steve's from
is that
college.
True?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We were college buddies. He hung out quite a bit. We were in journalism school together. Joe Donlin.
Joe Donlin.
Yeah.
And where does he come to us from?
Well,
the West Coast, right?
Portland. Yeah. He's been in Portland for 20 years. I saw him last time I saw him. He was in Tucson. I know he did some time in Texas. So he's a St. Louis boy. So coming a little bit closer to home. That's good for him.
Yeah, I just, you know, Mark Sapelsa's shoes are pretty tough to fill.
Yep.
So this is going to be a tough job, but we wanted to welcome him.
Yeah.
You know, Sapelsa's a Marquette boy, too, so they kind of kept it at the same school.
They only hire Marquette alum to anchor the 9 o'clock news at
That's
Channel 9.
That's what I pointed out on my resume, but
somehow they didn't pay enough attention to that.
I guess it's not an absolute rule.
So you'll come on and say hello to him, I hope, won't you?
Yeah, I will.
Yeah?
Definitely
All right,
will, sure.
Good. That'll be fun. Did you ever see this? Like, they'll show something on the network or on a big TV show, and they'll show something goofy that happens all over the country, and then you'll recognize somebody from Chicago in the segment. Like, they'll go, TV stations all over the country are reporting about this, and then they'll show you somebody in Seattle, and they'll show somebody in Boston, and then you go, oh, look, it's Dane Placco. I know Dane Placco. You know, he's one of our guys.
I never see anybody I know.
All right, over the weekend, it happened twice, and it made us look bad.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I was watching John Oliver over the weekend because his show returned, and he did something about goofy newscasters all over, and they showed a little bit of Windy City Live, and I was okay with that, right? And then...
You know, what would you do if Kevin Hart joined the staff of Windy City Live?
That'd be crazy. That would be crazy.
Would you just explode?
And then they showed something on Bill Maher's show. And you watched Bill Maher this weekend, right?
I just watched to see Emma Gonzalez.
Oh.
Or no, it wasn't her. It was the one who said F you to Donald Trump.
Yeah, they showed that.
Yeah, there's a lot of young kids in the news today that we are really trying to book for our show. And none of them are... They already have agents.
Well, Bill Maher, toward the end of his show, he does something called New Rules, which is a funny comedy bit they do at the end. And he showed Channel 7, and I don't know how we didn't see this last week, but this is really funny.
We did.
Did we talk about this?
I think Robert Feeder wrote about
it. Oh, did he? Evidently, during a broadcast over at WLS Channel 7, they were doing a report on the Olympics, which take place in Pyeongchang. However,
you're the only one I've heard say it that way, by the way.
The graphic,
Pyeongchang.
The graphic behind the newscaster said P.F. Chang's. Mm-hmm.
I know. How does that happen? Yeah, over the place.
That's so awful and embarrassing.
And P.F. Chang's actually did like a promotion about it.
What'd they do?
Let me find out, because I think they gave away like a free lettuce wrap if you mentioned it or something.
Here, I have it. Okay. P.F. Chang's seeing the funny side of Chicago ABC affiliates WLS Channel 7 screw up that confused the Asian American chain with the Winter Olympics host city, Pyeongchang or Pyeongchang. It's up to you. The restaurant temporarily renamed its lettuce wraps Pyeongchang lettuce wraps and gave them away with entrees on Thursday in an attempt to cash in on the gaffe.
That's genius, by the way.
Oh, quick thinking. Well done, P.F. Chang's. Last Saturday, a WLS News Team segment went viral after it accidentally used a graphic that read P.F. Chang 2018 to illustrate a serious news story about the political backdrop to the South Korean Games.
Who got fired over this, by the way?
I don't know.
Because that is just, it's not like any racial issue. It's just stupid.
How could it have happened? Like, whoever does the graphics has to know that the Olympics were not being held at a P.F. Chang's, right?
The only thing I can think of is if you put Pyeongchang in your phone, would it auto-correct it to P.F. Chang?
In your phone, maybe, but you know what goes into graphics at a broadcast. Somebody has to type it in.
Yeah, on my Apple computer, it has, you know, suggestions.
Some sort of auto-correct?
Yeah. I just, you kind of look at something before you do it.
The graphic had been prepared for an earlier satirical piece by sports anchor Mark Giangreco, but was mistakenly used again. That's how it happened. They already had it in their bank. They had it in their system because Mark was doing something funny with it. And then during the news, whoever hit the button hit the wrong button. But was mistakenly used again for the Straight News report, a spokesperson for the station said. A tweet by P.F. Chang's that announced, contrary to this broadcast, we are not hosting the games, has since been liked by more than 5,700 people, making it a hit piece of what we are obliged to refer to as Branter, B-R-A-N-T-T-E-R, I don't know what that means, for the Arizona-based chain, which has 5 restaurants in the Chicago area. The company also made a picture of its own spoof news report in which a graphics appeared behind the anchor suggesting that he is reporting the Pyeongchang lettuce wraps. So quick thinking on P.F. Chang's behalf. Well played, kids.
Now, somebody should start, like, a hip-hop group and call it P.F. Chang Lettuce Raps.
Oh, yeah.
But just no W in
it. Right. That's the way to do it.
Yeah, but Rob Feeder wrote about it. I couldn't believe that happened, and it does make us look pretty stupid.
Yeah. But I'm okay with it.
Well, we all like to laugh.
Yeah, it's fun to laugh.
Yeah, at some point you go, hey, I did it on purpose.
Right.
Got to lighten up the mood here.
Right.
You know?
Yep. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more show. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We need Mary Vandeveld's help for this, and it looks like she's leaving. Mary, can you hear me? Don't leave. Are you there? She's here. Okay.
I'm here.
Mary, I do not watch the Olympics at P.F. Chang's, and Wendy, you are not watching much of it, right? You watch little bits and pieces. But Mary, I know you're glued to your set. You're watching the Olympics a lot, right?
Yeah, it's addicting. Yeah. It is.
Help me with this, because I only know what I read. I didn't see this myself, but apparently there was some wardrobe malfunction in the ice skating.
I saw too much.
Did you? Now,
I can't find it anywhere
what I was
on
told.
The internet.
I think they got rid of it on TV. I mean, they're not showing it.
Yeah, but you can't get rid of things on the internet.
Well, here's what they
Mine
said.
Mine is taped, and I have it.
Oh, you do? All right, because they said...
Bill would
Wait
like
a minute,
to see
I
it.
Might have deleted
yeah,
it.
By.
I might have deleted it. I'm sorry.
They said that in America that it was not shown, that they edited it so you would not see that portion of the...
Oh.
But you saw it somehow?
I did.
She had a halter top
Gabrielle
on.
Gabrielle Papadakis.
Yeah.
Yeah, what happened? So, I mean, this happened right at the beginning, didn't it?
Yeah, it happened right at the beginning. He like, twirled her head around, and, you know when you wear a halter and you have a snap up at the top or something?
Yeah. Oh, that came undone.
Well, I don't know what she had a snap or she had a hook.
Oh, dude, you got to have
bad.
A backup. You need snaps, buttons, and bows.
Well, the only thing she did have, she had a little bit of a string that went around her arm. And thank goodness she had that or the whole thing would have been down. But the thing is, I mean, I do ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
And when you wear costumes like this, you have to make, I mean, if you have a malfunction, it's pretty bad. But most of those outfits have... bras like built into them, so I'm sure that's what she has. But and some of them have netting, but this one did not have the netting.
So was it bare skin that showed?
Oh yeah, I saw it.
Oh, you did now because they said last night on the news,
and it was at the end of the routine. So she held it. I mean, she kept kind
there
of
it is.
What
right
you
there.
Found it?
Oh yeah, yeah. Wendy has it.
Snap out of it, Bill.
Yep.
yeah, it's on the Daily Mirror, mirror.co.uk.
Okay, so yeah, that was towards the end of the routine, and she was kind of facing forward, right?
Yeah.
Well, she was
leaning back.
She was doing like a back.
And he was like looking right at it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The poor thing. I was just holding my breath the entire routine for
there
her.
There it is again, Bill.
Oh, yeah.
It was so... And they did get a silver medal. They got a silver medal.
So do you think the judges took that into account when giving them points? Like, wow, look at what she just had to go through. She her costume fell off.
Well, they are actually supposed to deduct a point for malfunctions.
Are they really? That's a rule?
Yes. And they said, and, you know, there was a big argument going on. And it wasn't Johnny Weir. It was, what's her name?
Tara Lipinski?
No? I forgot the other girl. The girl commentator that does the commentating for the ice dance. And she, I think there was a little confusion as to whether they actually deducted the point or not. It's so technical, the points now.
So
with the
it
technical.
Says in writing for the Olympics that if part of your costume falls off, you lose a point.
Well, I don't know. I didn't see the rule, but that's what Johnny Weir had said. He said, they do deduct a point for malfunctions.
Why would they do that?
Well, I don't know.
Do they
because
think somebody would try to have a malfunction to...
Well, because it's on... I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they don't, but it's kind of
There was another
thing.
Malfunction, too, at the very beginning of the Olympics. South Korean skater Yura Min almost ended up topless. She was dancing with Alexander Gamelin at the Pyeongchang Games.
Yeah.
And she had something where it was connected in the back, and that just kind of broke loose. Did you see that one, too, Mary?
I did not see that one.
That was like the first night or two. That happened right away. And I felt bad for her because as you're watching, she's trying to, you know, move her arms, but hold it on there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, like the back came open, so it would have just completely come off.
Probably.
And there's not much to these costumes. And, you know, and the guy, especially in ice dancing, he's constantly got his hand on her doing something, you know, going around, twirling around, and blah, blah, blah.
So that means it needs to be, there needs to be backup methods here.
Oh, yeah, you can't just use the Velcro. You got to go hooks and snaps.
What would you do to ensure that it would not open on you?
I would wear a flesh-colored bodysuit underneath, maybe.
Yeah.
It would weigh you down, though. I don't think they want to be weighed down.
They can be built in. Most of them are all built in.
Yeah, but if it's built in, Mary, and it comes down, then that's not going to be on your skin either. Oh. I just say tape
You'd
your nipples.
You'd wear a separate one.
Yep. Do what?
Well, you
tape
do
your
that.
Nipples.
Really?
Yeah.
Because then no one would see anything if she had like those, what are they called?
Pasties.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would too.
I'm so
I was
sorry.
A dancer
I
to
put
work
you
my way through
in
college,
the worst
Wendy.
Position
don't make
ever.
Me look bad.
What are
They're called pasties.
And you like to answer questions correctly.
Yes.
That was a quick response.
What are pasties? They are. I was a dancer in college.
But you wore the tassels.
I wore the tassels because I got bigger tips for that. But
Oh, my my God.
Oh, boy, Nick DiGilio.
What's wrong with that?
You scare me more every day.
All right, so why
does
this...
It's the White Sox hit.
It is the White Sox hit.
You're
more dangerous. All right, so be honest, Mayor. Why does this only happen to ice skaters? You're not seeing this in any other of the Olympic sports, but the ice skaters, all their clothes are falling off. How come?
Because they're so skimpy to begin with.
Is that what it is?
I mean, they're barely held on.
They need to design thicker clothing.
Well, what do you want them to wear? A, you know, knapsack or something? Some of them are wearing, some of the girls are wearing pants now more.
Are
like
they?
A bodysuit?
Yeah.
Like a whole, a onesie type of thing? More of the
do
girls are wearing
those. Do you think
this
is a desperate attempt by NBC to get higher ratings? If they promise once a night, one of the ladies' tops will pop off.
Personally, I've never seen this. I've never
I
seen this happen.
Either.
Twice and in a season? No,
yeah,
I've never seen
rare.
It.
Yeah, it's rare.
I mean, listen, it and it should be...
Were they playing a Janet Jackson song when this happened?
Was you know what? The song was, I'm in love with the shape of you.
Ah, perfect. Perfect.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But we've come so far where this hasn't happened before, and I know costumes are becoming more risque. If you did see I, Tonya, you do realize how ugly Tonya Harding's outfits were, and I feel bad saying that now because she had to kind of make them herself.
They were homemade.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
I feel really bad because she didn't have the money to keep up with all the other people that had these beautiful
super
outfits.
Expensive.
Right.
These costumes. Some of the ballroom dresses are like $10,000. Some
no.
$5,000,
seriously?
Yeah. Oh, they're off. Yeah.
And you can't, can you wear the same one more than once?
Oh, you
like,
have to.
People have seen
I would
it.
Never spend that kind of money, but.
Well, don't you rent them?
No. Most people buy their own. Because,
really?
Yeah. Yeah. You just do. I mean, I've buy used ones because
right.
I just can't afford them. They're just unbelievable.
You ballroom dance on a regular basis?
Yeah.
Yep.
Really?
Why do you find that hard to believe?
I think it's great. You and your husband?
Everyone at the station
no, my husband
does.
Won't do
You're
it.
The only one that
I go and I have a teacher and I take lessons once a week and then I go dancing once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Where do you go? Melody Mill's not still open, is it?
There's a place in Downers Grove. There's Ballroom City in Villa Park. That's where I go. There's places. There's dance studios.
Yep.
Do you wear a stole?
A what?
Like a mink stole?
No, I don't wear a mink stole. It's kind of hard to dance in a mink stole, don't you think?
Yeah, it would be.
No.
And it's
not going pole dancing.
It's not with Mr. Vanderbilt does not participate in this, right?
No, she just said no.
No, he hates to do it.
Her dad?
No, not her dad. Her husband.
I know.
That is my dad, actually. But...
But so that is because I knew that you did the dancing with the Chicago celebrities and all that stuff, and you do like to dance. But I didn't know you went on a regular basis. I didn't
love
know people
it.
Could do that.
Oh, sure they can.
Yeah.
Do you want me to? You can
no.
come to my lessons.
Do it, Wendy.
My
go.
Knee is my knee
oh,
is still
come
healing.
On.
No.
As soon as your knee heals, you'll go.
No, I'm more into the
How
Pilates
you,
or the bar
I'm
method.
I'm not allowed to.
Bill, you could be my partner.
I
need a partner.
I wish I could, but I'm not allowed to.
Lou Manfredini, John Williams
Lou
is
John
now dancing.
John
Thomas
is
Jefferson.
Dancing. John is actually dancing
Thomas
in a competition.
John Williams' friend Thomas Jefferson would dance with you.
Oh, his wig would fall off. That would be a malfunction.
That's a wardrobe malfunction. Oh, my God.
And his knickers.
That would be great.
Well, that's cool that you do that. I didn't know there were places. I knew there was a Melody Mill Ballroom. God, I don't even
Arthur
remember
Murray's
where that
still
was.
Around.
Arthur Murray, there, you know,
yeah,
there's
but that's
Fred
to
Astaire.
Take lessons. I didn't know like you could go to. I
you
mean,
can go to Arthur Murray.
Well, Fred Astaire and Arthur Murray have dances every week.
They do. I thought it was just to learn how to dance for your wedding.
They have all kinds of stuff, and I used to go to Fred Astaire, and they have fun parties, and it's a blast. I love it.
Do it,
good
Wendy.
Exercise too.
You got to do it.
I'm not doing
this
it.
Is,
you
this
do
is made
it
for you.
And it's not made for me. I don't
this
dance.
Is, this
I
has you all
see
over
you
it.
Cha cha.
You would
Wendy.
Love to cha cha.
Yeah.
Do it.
Argentine tango. Come on.
Shut up.
You can put a
Bill?
Rose in your mouth.
I
Charleston.
Don't want to.
You do the Charleston.
I will
People
tell you, my cousin Melanie and her husband John at their wedding, they did their first dance, and it was the cha cha, and it was they blew everybody away.
I'm sure
because you know everybody expects like a slow dance, and they it was at Spiaggia, so it was really this lovely wedding, and then Melanie put a rose in her mouth, and
was
they
the
were
tango,
so good.
Was
it was
it
the
a,
tango.
Yeah.
Good for her.
It was really impressive.
Tango's very hard.
Yep.
Yeah.
They nailed it.
I
gotta get the look.
I teach Lombada at the Arthur Murray in Evanston, and classes are sold out. You can't even get in. It's amazing.
You mean the bachata?
No. The
I like rum chata.
It's the forbidden dance.
Rum chata.
That's the forbidden drink. All right. First of all, yeah. Kudos to you for getting pasties.
You're welcome.
Second of all, thanks for correcting me on the, was it the cha-cha or was the tango?
If there's a flower in the mouth, it's going to be the tango.
Sorry.
You know.
The view's on. Why aren't you watching it?
Is it on now? I got to go. All right. A quick break.
Are you on your period?
And then, Jasmine, write the time down that Wendy said that. Because I'm using this as Exhibit A.
And no one says on your period, by the way.
You just did.
I know, because that's what guys say. It's like, are you on your period?
Save this tape. I need this for court, Jess.
Okay.
Save it. All right. We'll take a quick break. One of us will be back. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Kim. All right. Mark Sapelsa retired from...
No!
Are you just hearing about
yes.
this?
Yes. It's very upsetting
from
news.
WGN News. And so they were looking for someone to take his spot. And
I called.
Steve called. Bertrand, they did not pick up. They looked at the caller ID. They go, S. Bertrand.
You know, they never
no.
pick up.
But we want to welcome someone who will be making the trip to Chicago and who you will be able to see on the WGN News as the evening anchor starting mid-April. And we'd like to introduce the city of Chicago to Joe Donlin. Hi,
hey, Joe.
Joe.
Bill and Wendy and Steve, how in the world are you? I have to tell you, I just tuned in, and I think we have it covered. Naked figure skating, pasties, pole dancing, and menstruation. I mean, what else is there
yeah,
to cover?
We're just giving
everything.
You a little taste of Chicago, you know, so you
Joe,
know what to talk about.
That's just like 16th and Wells in 1985.
Now explain
yeah,
that.
I'm not saying any of that happened, but just saying I may not remember much of it.
Joe and I might have stories about each other. We went to school together at Marquette back in the early 80s.
And look at the two journalists now, one on the radio, one on television.
And it's Mark Sapelsa, who you're replacing, Joe, also an alum of that same school, Marquette University.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, even back in Marquette, we all knew Mark was going places. He's sort of the broadcast version of the natural.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe him.
Yeah, he was probably born, I think, with salt and pepper hair. He was ready to go right out of the gate.
All right, Joe, I'm very excited for you. Now, as I recall, you started in Texas, and last time I saw you, I think we were in Tucson, and now up in Portland for 20 years, but this is a lot closer to home, St. Louis, and you got to be excited to be coming to a market like Chicago.
Well, I'm thrilled. I can't tell you how excited I am. The minute I got off the plane at O'Hare for the audition, it just felt right. I mean, it was a cold, sunny day. The leaves had fallen, and, you know, I'm driving to GN, see the brick houses on the way, and it just felt like I was back home. And I've been gone so long that it just really sort of hit me when I got there. And the other thing for us is the stars all sort of aligned. Our youngest is looking at several colleges in the area. Our middle daughter just got a job in Chicago, and our oldest got a job in St. Louis. So all of this has happened within a matter of, you know, weeks. And then to get this job, it really all came together.
Kismet, I believe they call that.
It is.
We do have to, if you guys can allow me, we have to clear one thing up, though, because Joe is from St. Louis, and I just, you know, you're coming to Chicago now, so you got to leave all that red stuff.
Wear the Cardinals hat when you're doing the news, Joe. People will love that.
You know, I'm hoping that Sapelsa sort of paved the way for me on that, because he was a Packers fan, wasn't he?
Oh, he
yeah, he was.
Been,
yeah. yeah, right, right. Yeah.
Well, listen, I can't hide it. I'm from there. So, yeah, I am a Cardinals fan, but I may be an odd Cardinals fan because I'm a Cub fan, too. I pulled for the Cubs last year, and I definitely pulled for them when they won the year before. And I'm a baseball fan. So, to me, baseball is better when the Cubs are relevant. And I'm also really looking forward to getting to know and follow the Sox more, too, because I am, having grown up in St. Louis, I'm more of a National League guy, but having lived in Portland for 20 years, I've also followed the Mariners quite closely. So I'm looking forward to just, gosh, living in a great sports town and all that Chicago has to offer. I can't wait.
You're going
to
love it.
Joe passed the first test by bringing up the White Sox, because a lot of times people don't even bring up the White Sox. So thankfully you did that, Joe. What do we need? What should we know about you? Coming from Portland, you've been there 21 years, the main anchor over there. You've been on the TV with Jimmy Fallon.
I'm just a knucklehead who reads the news. That's kind of the way I look at it. I'm really, I've never taken myself too seriously. I love what I do. I love telling stories. And I love self-deprecating humor and having good fun with what we're doing. You know, I think that sort of helps take a step back and laugh at some of these things that we can laugh at. I've done a series of stories that we call the Cup of Joe, where we had a ton of fun with different guests, including Jimmy Fallon and different people who would come through town. We'd do sight gags and funny bits with them, and I was amazed at how much they were willing to play along. So I think, you know, in the end, I'm sure, you know, people are going to have to, you know, get used to me, and they're not used to seeing me, and all I can do is the best job I can.
You're pretty easy to get used to, Joe. Don't worry about that.
But, Joe, maybe a name tag for the first few days, right, just to play it safe.
Yeah. Well, I've heard from several of the folks at WGN, and that's been great. And Dan Rohn sent me a message yesterday and said, just remember, Skilling can have you killed and no one will ask any questions.
Great advice.
That's solid. We're talking to Joe Donlan, your new news anchor over at WGN TV News. Joe, a little while ago you said when you flew into Chicago for your audition, what was your audition like? What did they have you do?
They had me read with Micah. And it was funny because before we started, they had me sit down, and here's the show you're going to read. So I went over the scripts. They said, if you want to change anything, change it, and then click the X here, and it'll save it. So I did. I changed some things, and off we went. And as we started reading the newscast, I'm reading the second or third story in it. I'm thinking, I don't remember seeing this story. And then the next story, I was like, I definitely didn't see this story. And
Were they screwing with you?
I know what's going on here.
They messed with you, right?
Yes. Which is really, you know, it's fine, whatever. I mean, we read things cold all the time. That's 50-yard line stuff. But
so,
then they did throw in a mock breaking news segment, too, that, you know, there was an active shooter in D.C. and
Here's
a picture and talk about it, even though it wasn't true. It was just
So, Joe,
Mike,
you're saying,
and I ripped on that for a little.
You're saying before day one you already know you can't trust your bosses.
I say it shows that they like to have fun.
I can trust Micah. I felt right at home with her. I felt like I'd been sitting next to her for years, and it was really enjoyable to chat. We had a nice, fun kind of Q&A afterwards, and then off we went. So, and then I was there for the audition on December 1st.
Oh, wow.
It's taken a while.
It's been going on for a long time.
It has. I know you have spent the last 21 years anchoring KGW TV in Portland. What are you going to miss most about Portland, Oregon?
Oh, wow. That's a great question. It's such a great place to raise your kids. Portland's sort of a sleepy town. It's a lot to offer. You're an hour and a half from the coast. You're an hour and a half from Mount Hood. There are tons of things to do, lots of hiking in the Columbia River Gorge. It's a beautiful part of the country that a lot of people don't get to because it is quite far away. I'll miss all of that. And I'll, you know, as is the case in every job, you'll miss the people, right? I'll definitely miss all of the folks I've worked with. And several have said it's not necessarily who you work for, it's who you work with. And that's true.
We've got the CalSag channel here, Joe, which is really nice.
Beautiful.
We can hike along that together.
That sounds good.
No, not really.
I can't wait to get to all the restaurants and, you know, Portillo's and
Look at
Tavern and Yaxies and Lou's.
I believe you say it Yaxies, don't you? Do they pronounce it Yaxies?
Yaxies, yeah.
Yeah. We'll help you out.
You can tell just by the restaurants he's listed his experience in Chicago. They're all around the ballpark.
That's right. There you go.
Well, Joe, when you do make it.
I can't wait to get there, guys.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. What is your startup date? Do you have an opening date already?
Opening date?
We're still working on the exit day here. But I think mid-April is probably what we're looking at.
All right, good.
For tax season, you know, you'll be our little
tax season
bunny. Well, so nice to meet you, Joe. Joe Donlan, you can see him on your television set beginning mid-April on WGN News, evening anchor. We just wanted to welcome you aboard and apologize for you knowing Steve Bertrand.
Hey, Joe, I'm really happy for you. I can't wait to get to see you again, and we'll hang out a little bit. I can't wait. Good luck.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, guys. And maybe you can call dibs on a parking spot for me there.
Done.
The guy's been doing his research.
He has. I like it. Good work, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. Congrats.
See you soon.
All right. That's Joe Donlan, your nice new guy. Anchor over at Channel 9. He's a very nice guy.
Sense
Steve
of humor.
Told us he would be.
See, and I like, you could tell the guy's been reading up and totally is getting ready for it. So
he
that's
knew the
good
references.
For him.
See, that's doing his homework. It's, that's more than we do.
Yeah. But isn't it funny that over at Channel 9, they would sabotage him and go, here's the stories you're going to read. And then they threw him different stories. That's amazing.
That. But then you want to see how someone's going to react to breaking news and things that change. I think it was a good test.
Right. Yeah, it worked. All right. We'll take a quick break and then there's more show. Stay here. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, it's Bill and Wendy welcoming Joe Donlan to your television set, WGN News evening anchor, starting sometime in mid-April. There's another news anchor that was here in Chicago at a different network. Do you remember John Kelly?
Yes.
Very attractive.
He was with NBC 5,
yes.
John Kelly. I believe he did sports when he was here.
Yes, but then I thought he went on to like Entertainment Tonight or something like that.
Yeah.
One of those
entertainment
shows.
Entertainment Tonight, a show similar. Yeah.
Extra... Access
Hollywood. Maybe? Was that the one?
One of those.
Yeah.
But you know where he is now? He is a
game show host.
Oh,
right?
My God. Do you know this game show?
Yeah, I think I've seen it. What's the title of it?
Funny You Should Ask.
Right. So on Funny You Should Ask, they bring up stories, and then they have like six comics sitting in chairs, and they just kind of...
This is the worst thing I have ever seen.
You know who's behind this, right?
No.
Byron Allen.
Okay, it makes
sense. Does that explain
sense.
Everything?
Yes.
Yeah.
But I don't get, I was watching it on the U. It came up after, what were we watching? It wasn't Two Broke Girls. Seinfeld, maybe. That's
oh,
on
it?
The U.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Could be, yeah.
They're King of Queens, one of them we were watching.
Right.
And so the show kept running, and I hear, you know, oh, and now welcome to Funny You Should Ask. Here's your host, John Kelly. And I always like John Kelly. I'm like, I'm going to watch this. He is. Oh, my God, is he uncomfortable being a game show host?
Was he? Yeah. Oh, that's odd because he was usually pretty comfortable in whatever he tried. I'm surprised. But I've seen him on the show.
It's hokey.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
oh,
sure.
My God. Okay, so Barbie, here are the celebrity comics that were on
yeah.
it.
I bet.
God, I don't know where to start.
Are there six or eight of them?
Is six. That about,
all right. So I bet of the six... Like one or two are very well known. One
yes.
or two are kind of in the middle, and then the other two, you have no idea who they
no,
are.
No, you
right?
know all of these.
Oh, yeah?
The guy from Mike and Molly, Bobby, is it Gardell?
Billiam Gardell.
Billiam?
Yeah.
Billiam?
Yeah, I think his name is actually, I know, that seems crazy.
All right, you're a liar.
I think when he was on King of Queens, they just called him Billy, but I think initially, I think he went by Billiam, seriously. I know that sounds crazy.
So Billy Gardell?
Yeah.
Is that his
when
name?
When he did Mike and Molly, you're not seeing it as Billiam anywhere? When
you
he
are
did
so
clubs,
weird.
I'm serious. When he did
Billiam?
Clubs.
Billiam? Why did he do that?
To mix William and Bill.
Well, I.
It seemed.
Duh.
I know. Why would you do that? But
why don't you start doing that?
I'm not doing it. You can't talk
They'll
me into
push
doing
you over
it.
The top. You'll
I'm
get
not,
a sitcom with Melissa McCarthy.
I don't have time, Wendy. I'm busy.
Or Michelle Lissa.
I'm very busy.
A girl named Michelle Lissa.
Yeah.
All right. So he's
he on
it.
It.
Billy Gardell, who I think is super funny.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Where do I go next? Jack Kay.
Was she on it?
Hi,
yeah. From
May.
227?
I was on 227. Jack Kay. Still going by Jack Kay.
Yeah. No last name necessary.
No. Jimmy Walker.
Really?
I'm telling you.
All right.
Well, now,
he's still doing stand-up. He's not out of the game, so he could be on it, I guess.
Okay, those three I understand.
Yeah.
These three I do not, because they are, I'm sorry, they are too popular to be on this show.
Yeah.
Howie Mandel. Doesn't he host his own game show somewhere?
Yeah, he's always got something going.
John Lovitz.
Yeah, Lovitz was on when I saw it, too.
And Cheryl Hines.
From really? Curb
from
Your Enthusiasm?
Yeah.
That's strange. I've seen it twice, and John Lovitz was on one of the times.
He
and
looks great,
Byron
by the
Allen
way.
Was always on it, because it's his show.
He was not on
it.
This.
He didn't show up for this one?
No. But I just thought, I thought, I couldn't believe I was watching it.
Yeah.
And I was just puzzled. Like, I thought, you know what? John Lovitz, Howie Mandel, I just thought maybe they have so much going on that I didn't feel they needed to be on
right,
this.
Right, 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 right.
And then when I saw Cheryl Hines, I really was just shocked.
Yeah.
She's
yeah.
on Curb.
Yeah, it can't be the money. You're not doing it for the money at that point. I'm
well,
not sure.
Well, it can't be the notoriety because it's
definitely not the notoriety. I don't know why you would. I don't know.
I am just crazy confused.
To be on a syndicated show like that, you go, they can't be, they probably pay them a couple of $100 or $1,000 for a show or something. Is it worth it?
And then the contestants, I'm sorry, I could never be a contestant on a game show.
Why?
I was on The Weakest Link and I got knocked out like right away.
Mm-hmm.
Through no fault of mine. They just didn't, they were threatened by
you
me.
You were too much of a challenge to them.
Yes. They didn't even, you know me yet, but these people...
I'm sure once they got to know you, they would not have considered...
Oh, they would have gotten rid of me. They
right.
would have said, why didn't we do this earlier?
Right, right.
And then I would have won, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But these game show contestants are just... They're so fakey. I cannot...
I know. Enthusiastic.
Please be very up. Tell us, you know, if something is great, make it, you know, incredibly great.
Right.
I can't take it. I watched 5 minutes of it and I just, my eyes burned out.
There's a lot of clapping, you know?
I just can't believe what I saw.
I saw a little bit of Celebrity Family Feud on Sunday. I saw like 5 minutes of it. So on Celebrity Family Feud, as you know, it's Steve Harvey who's the host. And on this particular episode, it was The Bachelors versus The Bachelorettes. And some of the bachelors and bachelorettes are not very bright. I will give you an example. The topic was things you do with your mouth, right? The number one answer was talk, to which the bachelorette who did not get a right answer goes, talk? Like that would never occur to her that that's something you could do with your mouth. She just looked toward the camera and she squinted and she goes, talk? Like, that's crazy. Why would you use your mouth to talk?
I'm sorry I didn't see this. It's quite the comedy.
It was beautiful. All right. We must take a break. We'll talk to Steve and find out what he has coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch. And we're headed toward the stream. We'd love to have you there. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.